Hey everybody, it's Checkers of Records show on Speedway Anywhere, your Speedway podcast for everything motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Another way you can find us is to go to Blog Talk Radio and then in the search bar type in Speedway Anywhere. It can be one solid word, it can be two separate words, Speedway and Anywhere or Speedway Anywhere. And you can find our show. All the archives are right there. I'm learning this. I'm learning this as we go. And been on ever since, the end of March, I think. Feel free to join the show. Call 917-889-2053. That's 917-889-BZLD, like the word bold. I can't quite afford the vanity number. You know, the ones that actually spell something. But yeah, 917-889-2053 or B0LD. We're live every Monday and Tuesday. I'm already starting out the show on a bad note. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. And we will be for the next... tonight, Monday and Thursday of next week, Monday of the following week after the wrap up at Miami, and then we're going to play it by ear. If you want to follow the show, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and click follow. You can also go to facebook.com/Speedway Anywhere and follow us there. Only four official episodes on the Speedway, and the special coverage throughout the off season will begin after the wrap up of the NASCAR Cup Series. We'll be doing a little bit in monster trucks, arena truck, supercross, snowcross, maybe even some Australian V8 supercars, as well as quad bikes too. For some winter events. I got to keep busy. I will go nuts if I don't. So let's get on with the opening paragraph. So take almost everything I told you from the Cup Series on Monday's show and throw it out the window. Huge earth-shaking penalties handed to the number four of Kevin Harvick. Harvick won at Texas last Sunday, but it just doesn't matter now. Harvick was stripped of his win and his championship lock. He was docked 40 points as well. This took him from being automatically in the final four at Homestead Motor Speedway, Miami Homestead. It moved him back to fourth on the cutoff spot, only 3 points ahead of fifth. He can still win his way in this weekend at Phoenix, but so can six of the seven contenders, as Joey Logano is already locked in after his win at Martinsville. So there are seven spots. Kyle Busch is in second now, and then Martin Truex Jr. is third with Harvick on the cusp now in fourth. The fifth through eighth place drivers can bump Harvick if one of those guys wins, or if they point their way into fourth. Second and third are at least 22 points ahead of Harvick, so that's not going to that's not a good scenario for Harvick. On Monday's show, before the penalties were levied, I said Kevin Harvick could just go for a joyride at Phoenix. That's no longer the case. He now has to go after every single stage point, win stages, as well as the win itself. So he can't just go out and joyride. The penalty came from alterations made to the rear spoiler. Rear spoilers are issued to the teams from NASCAR, and they are not allowed to change the piece in any way, shape, or form, and it must be mounted to the specifications provided by NASCAR. This is the most severe points penalty I've recently seen in memory issued to the Cup Series, and the timing couldn't come at a worse time for teams in the top eight before the field is reduced or going into the finale at Miami. Harvick has one more shot to get in at Phoenix, but he does have to do it against the other players in the chase. So he has to contend for every point, every win, every, you know. More penalty news, the 12 of Ryan Blaney, who made it to ninth in the top 12 contenders before the field of eight cars were set. And Eric Jones, who was also a chase contender in the field of 16 before the top 12 were set, both were issued 20-point penalties at Texas. The penalties obviously don't have the same ramifications and repercussions that Harvick did. You may remember also that Kyle Larson ran into the penalty problems as well in the chase. When all was said and done, Larson ended up 12th before the field went to 8. He also struggled on track as well. Almost won his way in, but not quite. This is just another example of why I've said no one is actually a lock. When you watch NASCAR America and when you watch NASCAR, you know, all the shows out there that talk about the drivers that are locked into the chase, no, they're not. When those penalties get handed down, all of a sudden the entire scenario changes. So it's another example why I've said that no one is actually secured in the championship. There was even a driver early in the season. I'm not going to name him. He's taken on enough abuse, that had a win but was disqualified from reaching the chase potential after failing a random banned substance screening / drug test. And they disqualified him. He continued to race throughout the season. But it didn't matter how many wins he would have had. That would have changed everything drastically because he really didn't perform that bad. But I feel like he kind of gave up. No, it's kind of like when you see the words unofficial results, then it will say official results on Monday, but then says something else on Wednesday. You just never know. Nobody's actually going to be locked. There's talk of a little bit more of that in a little while here. What NASCAR may or may not be doing going into 2019, as far as inspection rules and whatnot, as far as the banned substance thing, well, I don't think that's ever going to change. A little bit more 2019 NASCAR news, the worst kept secret in the garage. It's finally been officially announced that Martin Truex Jr. and his crew chief Colt Pern will be moving to the Joe Gibbs in the number 19. Sponsor news hasn't been announced, and Daniel Suarez, who has driven the number 19 for the last 2 years, has not made anything official as of his whereabouts for next year. I would have to say his situation and Kurt Busch's situation are also the worst kept secrets. I'm not making this official. I'm just saying, because Suarez rumors put him in the number 41 at Stewart-Haas Racing that Kurt Busch has been in. and Kurt Busch going to the number one at Ganassi Racing, where it's already confirmed that Jamie McMurray is vacating that ride. We have some news on the IndyCar series, as well as NHRA updates for their final weekend. Only two more to go for the top three NASCAR divisions, only one more each before the final field is set for the finale at Miami Homestead. There was some major ramifications for the contenders during the weekend at Texas. We'll cover that in depth as we give the individual rundown for each series coming up here. And then we'll also get to a little bit of insider type stuff that I found out as well. So we'll be right back.
Flag, hammer down.
All right, so let's go hammer down in the Cup Series. Let's straighten out some of the stuff that came in on Monday. And this was 2 days before Kevin Harvick was handed the penalties, the number four car, by the way. Cup Series, Harvick was the probable winner for Phoenix, but now he has to do it. He has to do it there after what was a locked up spot coming off his win at Texas. NASCAR and contenders found the key to unlock his championship berth, which was a lock. Just like our guest host Monday of last week, Michael Huseman brought up, Harvick was once known as the closer. Times changed. And stage wins became more important. Harvick took all three between the first two stage wins and the win at Texas. Two stages and the win. But now he has to focus on those stage wins and the win at Phoenix. Like I said, he could have just went out for a joyride, or he could have went out for pride points and kept the dream alive, winning the most races at Phoenix. Pole sitter Ryan Blaney incurred a penalty too, by the way, and was actually in contention. Never got too far behind, even led some laps after pit sequences, but wasn't able to hold on to the lead. And he ended up finishing second. Now, he took on a 20-point penalty. We'll see where that shakes out at the end of the year as far as, first through 10th through 20th through, whatnot. Joey Logano, he took third. He locked himself into the final four at Miami after a win at Martinsville. Eric Jones, who was in the original 16 of the chase, finished fourth. Lots of press thinking he will shine a little brighter in 2019, but Jones had an infraction as well and lost 20 points. In fifth place went to Kyle Larson. Before I get to that next part, I don't like when non-contenders give way to championship contenders, you know, where they just sit back and get out of the way. It's a long, solid argument, but play for pride. Don't just give up spots because the other guys are, they got Miami on the line. Drive your race and no team orders. So when all was said and done after Texas, points and position line up for the Cup Series as Joey Logano is locked in front with his win at Martinsville. Kyle Busch moved into second based on points, 28 ahead of fifth place. Martin Truex is now third and 25 points ahead of the cutoff. And as mentioned in depth, Kevin Harvick is fourth, only 3 points to the good ahead of fifth. Now, that may sound close, but you got to understand these next four drivers could shove Kevin Harvick out. They might even shove a couple drivers out. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. only having 25 to the good and Kyle Busch 28 to the good. That's not a lot of points. Kyle Busch and Martin Truex have no wins in this round. And now, of course, after the infractions, neither does Kevin Harvick. The other drivers from 5th to 8th pretty much need a win to bump their way in unless 3rd and 4th are really faltering at Phoenix or, like Harvick did, get a massive penalty. So it's Kurt Busch. 3 points out where he sits in fifth, needs a win you're in pretty much. Chase Elliott is probably the most, you know, in sixth place. Sixth place is probably the closest to contention to go to Miami and race in the final four. I don't see it with Eric Almirola in seventh. I don't see it with Clint Bowyer. The points themselves could get shuffled, but not the championship itself. Clint Bowyer basically out with 51 points to the minus in eighth. Kurt Busch is three behind the fourth place cusp. Again, when you're in, Kurt Busch could make up that 3 points on his teammate, Kevin Harvick. I don't see it at Phoenix. I think Harvick's pretty safe. Points don't matter at Miami, by the way. The finishes do. There are no stage points. No one on to the next round, as there is no next round coming out of Miami. A win is a championship. A second is a championship if somebody that's not a contender takes the win. So, you know, so on and so forth. 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, and the list goes on as far as the four that will be contending for the championship. Cup heads to ISM Phoenix Speedway on Sunday, where's the day? November 11th for that final race before the Homestead Miami Championship weekend. What does ISM mean? Anyone want to call in? Please tell me. 917-889-2053. 917-889-BZ0LD. Still wondering how that whole deal happened. It is a brand new track, basically. The track shape is the same, but the start line, the pit road, and everything else is different. So Cup will be there this coming Sunday on the 11th for that final race before the championship at Miami. Now, this is crazy how of the top five finishers, follow me now, minus Joey Logano, all have rather nominal penalties in the chase. Different times in the chase. Last weekend, Ryan Blaney and Eric Jones both got him at Texas, but they're already eliminated. Kyle Larson, I think it was Kansas, I believe. I don't have it in front of me. And Kyle Larson took on a decent penalty as well and made it more challenging on himself after having what had been, you know, in that round of the 12 drivers going for, you know, the top eight. He had a lot of challenges, and one of them being a penalty. So, including pit road penalties and whatnot. I'm going to get to that on Harvick, too, because he's done everything possible to beat himself. Well, him and his crew. But so, I'm going to move on to the Xfinity series here. Christopher Bell started on the pole at Texas. That didn't last long. Bell has won the most races of this year, but he's had problems recently. He came into Texas on the cusp of fourth in points, and it only got worse by the end. Cole Custer finally got a win for 2018, his last one being at Miami last year. Cole Custer finally got his win when you're in. Pretty much traded spots with Christopher Bell, because Christopher Bell came in fourth, and now he's came out of Texas in seventh. And it's just hard to believe that the rookie, the winningest rookie ever in the series, and the guy with the most wins this year is on the outside looking in. But Cole Custer got the win after a hard-fought battle and record-setting number of cautions at Texas. The lead was traded in the race between cautions with Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick, and even John Hunter Nemechek looked like he was going to take the win. John Hunter won at Kansas, which denied the chase contenders from getting the win you're in spot. And it almost happened again at Texas. I think we got to keep an eye on that John Hunter Nemechek when it comes to those mile and a halves. And I think the same could be told when he's been in the truck series. So Christopher Bell had a bad start and spun on the first half a lap, and that only got worse when he wrecked out on lap 133. Chase contender Austin Cindric, the final of the eight chase contenders, had a little something to do with that. But Christopher Bell, by the way, in that race at Kansas, he contends that Justin Allgaier got up into him. I looked at how tight he hugged Justin Allgaier down to that inside line. And fresh tires, less than the first lap. Let's be patient, guys. How about we be patient? Christopher Bell has the most wins in the Xfinity Series for 2018. And like I mentioned, most for rookie ever. But yeah, now he's mired in seventh for the chase. 34 points from the cutoff, and unless others have major problems at Phoenix, well, kind of like Bell has the last couple of races, Bell is in a must-win situation to overcome that. When the day ended, Custer got his win and is locked for the championship. By the way, Custer's only previous win, like mentioned, was at Miami at the end of the season last year. So we got Tyler Reddick in second as the finisher. Third finish went to Austin Cendric, who, like I mentioned, eighth place in the points. John Hunter Nemechek, not a championship contender. Allgaier did take fifth, not quite enough to move up in the contention for the championship. Points coming out of Texas are Cole Custer being the only driver locked in with a win because John Hunter Nemechek took the previous one. Tyler Reddick, second. Elliott Sadler, third. Daniel Hamrick, fourth, based on points. That would be our championship contenders if we went to the Final Four at Miami today, but we still got Phoenix coming. Justin Allgaier, he's in fifth. Matt Tifft in sixth. Christopher Bell in seventh. Austin Cendric in eighth. Justin Allgaier has, I'm reading ahead. That's why I included that age. Justin Allgaier has the second most wins behind Christopher Bell, but has struggled in the round of eight drivers eligible for the championship. He's 12 points behind Hamrick, who's in fourth, and 13 behind Sadler in third, and only 2 points ahead of Matt Tifft, who's in sixth, right behind him. So point racing is going to be dicey in Phoenix, making a when-you're-in scenario the only way to go. I'm going to cut to bumper and hopefully get a little help here because I am dying for some Gatorade. Bubba J. So let's move ahead to trucks. Oh my God, I got a lot of news about Harvick though. Let's go ahead and cut to trucks. Trucks are also on their way to Phoenix, by the way, for their second to last race before they go to Miami and narrow their field down to four. Johnny Sauter, who won his way to the finale at Homestead Miami last week at Martinsville, started on pole at Texas. The finish is the biggest news, where Todd Gilliland, not a chase contender, but he was on his way to victory only to run out of fuel on the final lap. Justin Haley, multiple time winner this year, was right there to capitalize on Gilliland's misfortune. This also would have meant that Todd Gilliland would have taken away the when you're in spot. You know, kind of important at this time of year. But he would have taken it away for the trucks. But Justin Haley and Johnny Sutter are now the locks for the spots at Miami. I mean, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we could have another penalty that just comes out of nowhere. And then, you know, a driver is disqualified. I mean, you could be disqualified for looking at an official wrong at this point. I don't even know. It's crazy because I'm going to get to more of this later, but official spots are not official spots when it comes to the championship. So, let's see, where was I? Haley and Sutter are now the locked through the spots at Miami, depending if it's a Chase-eligible winner at Phoenix. And the two available spots may be filled by points, or maybe there's only going to be one spot available by points. So Justin Haley got a win. Ben Rhodes took second. Brett Moffitt landed third. Todd Gilliland managed to finish fourth after running out of fuel. So it didn't totally suck. He had nothing to lose. And the top five was rounded out by Austin Hill. And I believe I remember the FS1 reporters talking about how Todd Gilliland's got nothing to lose by gambling on fuel. He's not really running for points. He's not running for the championship. He's out there running for points. And when they interviewed him on pit road after the race, it didn't seem like he was horribly disappointed. I wouldn't be either if I had a beautiful girlfriend like his. Would you, Kurt?
Maybe.
Just maybe. Okay. You know, when I'm sitting there watching the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I don't get any more follow-up, I'm kind of like, I don't want to cut you off, but if I need to say something, let me know. The top five was rounded up by Austin Hill. Who's Austin Hill?
Well, you heard of him now. He's the guy that finished off the top five.
Is he a hill in Austin, Minnesota?
Maybe.
Is it a hill down there in Texas?
Austin Hill. I wonder if he's related to the, like, Hank Hill. Think about that. They could talk trucks. They could talk trucks. You know, Hank's a truck guy, so.
Yeah, I don't think the NASCAR trucks are meant to clear the ground by that kind of height, but yeah. So let's wrap up on the trucks. As far as the championship contenders, it's Johnny Sauter with a win, Justin Haley with a win, third spot based on points right now is Brett Moffitt, Noah Gregson, who's moving on to the Xfinity Series next year in the number one car that Elliott Sadler is vacating. He is fourth. So he's the top lock, or the top of the lock. And over fifth place, Grant Enfinger on the outside looking in, and Matt Crafton in the sixth spot, 23 behind the cutoff. Remember now, this round is down to six, unlike the Cup and Xfinity Series, who have eight left before Phoenix, where the number eight will get cut in half down to four, whereas the Truck Series has six going in, where it's only going to be cut down to two-thirds for four drivers. Woo! What's the latest and greatest?
Not much. Just watch Big Bang and listening to you. And of course, wondering what happened with number four.
Did you listen to the beginning of the show?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah. I don't know. Number four, so far three times, for taking a number two.
Yeah. You know, speaking of number two, Robbie Gordon, and apparently first it was Robbie Gordon that knew what that meant, and now Ward Burton does.
He's a piece of shit.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know what would be great? You should get the CNN White House correspondent to go after him now.
Wait, what?
You should get the CNN White House correspondent to go after Kevin Harvick now.
And then?
That's right.
You didn't answer her.
And then?
The spoiler.
And then?
Dumplings.
And then?
Sweet and sour sauce.
And then?
Why don't you throw in some lemon chicken?
And then?
Let me ask my good buddies Robbie Gordon what he wants.
So, when all was said and done, I got so many different pieces of the story as far as the Kevin Harvick thing. I'm just, it's all spread out throughout my prompter. And by the way, this hotspot thing works out a lot better than the frickin' building internet. I'm happy.
Yeah, you haven't had a problem. And
well, I've had a problem, but not one I'm going to discuss.
Well, you got a few problems. Hey, I don't have any problems. I got issues. So.
You have an issue? You want a tissue?
I have
issues. You know, somebody that's got issues.
I wish I had something I could shot through the window. That's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. Went around like shit all day anyway.
Yeah, Ward's got some issues too. God, I would love to meet him.
Well, we're going to have a round table between him and Sterling Marlin and Boomhauer at some point here. I haven't been able to arrange it. Maybe we'll save that for the off season when they have more time. Hey, the NHRA is coming back this weekend at Pomona for the finals. Steve Torrence is already declared top field champion. It sounds like Mr. Tanner Gray, the guy going to stock cars in pro stock, is pretty much got it wrapped up. It's only a couple of drivers that have a shot at the funny car division. It should be Courtney's, but the stupid championship showdown deal they got, just you reset the freaking field of 10 to 0 each, and then they all got to start over. Maybe John will have something to say about that.
Yeah.
And, when he retires, he can step in as a official or something. But so in funny car, J.R. Todd leads Tommy Johnson exactly 191, and I've said this the last couple of weeks because they don't have any frickin' new news. But yeah, J.R. Todd could skip Pomona and mathematically eliminate Tommy Johnson and Courtney Force, who are fifth and sixth. Let's see. Robert Height, though. Robert Height's part of the Force camp. And there's some debates of whether or not John Force has laid back off the throttle a little bit to let his team car of Robert Height win. Just to keep him ahead of Ron Capps.
Oh.
You know, there's a little animosity between the two.
Really?
Yes. So Pro Stockers, Tanner Gray has been the man all year. Jake Coughlin and Eric Anders are the only two anywhere close behind him. That's going to be a long shot. Jags and Eric Anders are teammates. So, and then, like mentioned in previous weeks, as Danny Carey has done nothing, you know, Kytus in points with six drivers only separated by 113 points. Matt Smith on top. Eddie Krawick. Ellie Tonga, Hector Ronan, Gary Savoy, and Andrew Hines with 115 points. So they're going to go to Pomona. I believe there might be some exhibition events after the titles are decided where they're going to do four wide tracks. That's not confirmed yet. But damn it, put that stuff on TV. I mean,
yeah.
Instead of side by side trees, can you imagine that four wide? Just and how loud that would be. It's like, well, honey, I'm almost deaf, so I might as well finish the job. And then go watch a four-wide NHRA event between the top wheelers and the funny cars and maybe even some of the others.
That'd be like a Hot Wheels race.
I've heard that the Pro Mods are actually even louder.
Because
they don't have to have the pipes going up in the air. They can have the pipes headed at a 45-degree angle to the back so that... It's not that they're louder. They're just the direction of the sound is more in your face and in your ears. So. So, yeah, back to our quick note. How many times have I said this? You'll know it when I say it. John Force is still chasing that 150th win in a final. Will he get it done in 2018?
No.
Will he own
not.
A food truck by the beginning of 2019?
I hope.
Will we own a John Force food truck by 2019?
Maybe, and if we do by 2019, we'd probably have a nice little lawsuit. But there's ways around it, probably.
You cannot copyright a name. You know, I was thinking, you know, there's this old Indy driver named Hector Benedict. We could serve eggs Hector Benedict. Eggs Hector Benedict. And then we could do the Talladega Nights thing, the shake and bake. The New York Sirloin drag strip. Screw John Forrest. We could do a race food truck ourselves.
Hmm. Huh.
Keep the dream alive, right?
Yeah.
All right, the woo, not the Ric Flair related woo, but World of Outlaws. I got to repeat this from Monday. World of Outlaws wrapped up their season at Charlotte over the weekend. Donnie Schatz, who has dominated the points all year, did it proper by taking the final at World of Outlaws Finals at Charlotte. The obvious next two in points were followed by Brad Sweet and David Gravel, and I didn't get the Dude Sweet soundbite that I wanted, but I do like this. So before we go on, so it was Donnie Schatz,
and then
Brad Sweet, David Gravel,
and then
I don't know. So,
David Gravel on dirt.
Better than gravel in your underwear. That's a whole nother subject. The obvious thing. 10-time champ, like I mentioned on Monday, 31-year-old Schatz is probably ranked right up there with guys like the Kinzers, Swindell, and Greg Hodnett. And I bet Schatz will break some of the all-time records for the World of Outlaws in years to come. Steve Kinzer at 690. Schatz has 260. Kinzer retired at 62 with 20 championships. Schatz is half his age at 31. And took his 10th championship already. But hey, when all is said and done, oh wait, I didn't mean to escape that subject yet. But yeah, when you look at the math, 62 years, 20 championships, 31 years, 10 championships, it's going to be close. Don't you think?
Yeah, I just think when you start winning in your early 20s, you got a good road ahead, and he's probably not even hit his prime yet.
You got to remember the old Quaker State wings on those World of Outlaw cars, right?
Yeah.
And that's who, if you can get a sponsorship behind you that's going to do something like that, you ain't got to worry about an engine and sending roll bars, smashing a wing when you flip over. You just go out next week and you got another brand new car to bring out. And
yeah,
they can do stuff like that. I mean, the Kinzers, the Swindells, the, you know, everyone. Hey, by the way, if you ask me again, the number is 917-889-2053. It's like the word bold, but you just use the operator number on your phone. I always love that. Now, I'm not going to call him out by name, but he claims that I don't say the number enough, and blah, 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 blah. Which is fine. That's fine. I've had more people flake out on me since late March on this show than I have my whole life. You claim you're listening. The letter that I'm mentioning right now is the letter H. Send the letter H to my Facebook page when I ask you what letter did I mention on my show. Then I will believe you're listening. Oh, and by the way, what's the What's the meaning of life?
The meaning of life. What would that be? I really don't know.
See, I'm just going to make up an answer, and I'm going to say, make sure you have enough toilet paper. Now, if somebody comes to my Facebook page and says, I listened to you last night, I'm going to say, oh, yeah, what was the letter? And if they say H, I'm going to be like, what was the meaning of life? And they say, make sure you have enough toilet paper. And then, you know, it's complete BS. It's just a made-up statement, but... All right.
Are you doing the Pee-wee's Playhouse thing with the secret word? You know, the chair starts going off, Cowboy Curtis. You know, and secret word would go off, and then
we
don't
have
got,
that budget.
You know,
you got to understand, it's a airwave show. So, and I'm using the hotspot on my phone for internet tonight, where I pay for internet in the building. But me and the owners will have that discussion tomorrow. Hey, after 35 drivers / cars showed up for the 2018 Indy 500, what's that noise?
Oh, it's the fan. It keeps falling.
Okay, well, it's really loud through the airwaves. How appropriate. But yeah, after 35 drivers and cars showed up for the 2018 Indy 500, it's already looking like at least 40 will be on the entry list. I didn't get the chance, because of the stupid internet, to look up what the record entry list was for the 33. But yeah, James Hinchcliffe was one of the two drivers last Indy 500 that ended up missing the field. There was a late qualifying attempt where Hinch felt a vibration on his warm-up lap, so he pitted. By the time he tried to get back out, the car was already on the track and the clock had expired by the time. So, and by the way, the car that had been out didn't qualify either. Hinchcliffe would have easily beat out the other guy. So, it was kind of Merry Christmas to, I didn't even look who took 33rd in the field, but Hinchcliffe is one of the more popular drivers, as he took over the GoDaddy ride after Danica left to NASCAR, so had multiple injuries, and one being with Robert Wickens at Pocono, took on some injuries to his wrist. He's had more major injuries in previous races. And by the way, no word on a possible return time frame for Robert Wickens at this point. They're keeping it quiet. There's been nothing new since September. So before we cut to multi-sports, we're going to take a quick break and then head over to Final Laps and some other info, and then we'll put a wrap on it after that.
Down.
today. I've been watching NASCAR and drinking beer. That's your favorite sport. Yeah, NASCAR is too. You know, NASCAR is very hot right now. Oh, I know. Everybody loves NASCAR. Well, Sweet Daddy said it's just a bunch of guys driving in a circle. Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
Speaking of hammered,
I'm out of nails.
Bubba J.
Should Jeff Dunham, period. I go on binge watches his shows, and I love it like it was the first time. Hey, I wanted to cut to multi-sports. James Naismith. Birthday was 2 days ago. You know what he's famous for?
Taking right turns. No, he basically invented basketball. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Those whisker. God, I'm doing horrible on my English tonight.
Yeah.
I should probably just pre-record the whole damn show during the daytime before I start to wear down and get tired at night. He
decided
to attach a wicker basket to a pole and throw a ball in it.
You know, and how they had to get the ball out, the bottom of the basket had a hole in it, then they would take like a broom handle to get the ball out. And the games, it wouldn't be too shocking to see scores of like 4-5 to 3, you know, like 5-3, 6-2, and that
you
too.
Have any idea when, you have any idea when basketball went pro?
Oh, God, I believe, well, I know the pre, although technically the NBA didn't start until like 1948, there was pro basketball before, but it was on such a lower level than what became the NBA. But it was like the 1940s, so. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Even though people can't believe how long baseball has been round versus actual World Series, and people can't believe how long football had been around. I mean, we're talking 16th Super Bowl in like 1986.
Actually, I believe that was like the 20th. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just, as far as actual championships and world records and Hall of Fames and, then again, it took forever for there to be a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a NASCAR Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fames Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
But yeah,
well, I'd like to start off something here with basketball. Lindsey Whalen's first game is tomorrow night against Rhode Island.
Here or there.
And could they make it to the NCAA again for the second year in a row? The word is they can.
Okay, no answer.
Or what was that?
I said here or there.
Oh, we're here. They sold out the barn. Yep, it's a sellout.
No big surprise to that. And by the way, I got more sellout news on that. Well, not that, but other sellout news. Bob Nagle.
Yeah.
You hear about that?
Oh, yeah.
Bob Nagle brought back the pro hockey team, the Minnesota Wild. He passed away. And he sold the team in 2018, but he was part of the groundbreaking on the XL Energy Center.
Yeah.
After they knocked out the Civic Center. So, kind of a big deal to my own hometown. Hey, you got any of the Thursday night Steelers and Panthers going on?
Actually, I do not. God, the Steelers just aren't that interesting to me anymore. They're just not.
Here's where they're interesting to me. The Cleveland Browns show up against the Steelers. And the Cleveland Browns break their 0-16 losing streak of last year by playing the Steelers first and getting a tie.
Oh, yeah?
You gotta love that. Come on. If it's not like one of the most memorable Steelers games in history, I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, the fact that Steelers have been around so long, I had wondered when was the last time they actually tied a game. You know, and then, of course, all of a sudden the Browns actually tie a halfway decent team. You know,
When I first met a certain beautiful female, Christy, she was wearing a Carolina Panthers jacket. You said just because she wears a jacket. Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't a jacket. It was a comfy little, you know. So. And it was cute. It was all shiny and panther-like. And hi, Christy. And so, all right, so we covered Naismith. We covered Nagle. We covered Thursday Night Football. What the flip-offs is going on as far as multi-sports? And hockey team still holding on, or have they sucked?
What was that?
Has the hockey team held on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Wild are hot. They play the Kings tonight.
All right. Are they still like 70%, 80%?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Call Mark Betzold and tell him he's a word I can't say on the air. You're a word Quentin can't say on the air. You know, I am making a disaster out of the show tonight because I ran out of material.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of easy to do when Harvick screws everything up and you gotta look up everything all day long.
Yeah. It's all Kevin Harvick's fault.
It is all Kevin Harvick's fault.
What do you think he's doing right now? Just this moment.
Oh, it's Thursday. Hopefully sleeping. Well, maybe not because time zone's a lot different in Phoenix.
Yeah. Getting lectured by his dad not to cheat anymore.
He didn't cheat this time.
You know.
His crew, who built the car, did.
Hey,
and by the way, that's another listenable point, people. And I do need to quit on the editorials with the phone-ins and whatnot from time to time. Kevin Harvick's crew is the one that screwed it up. All right, the spoiler piece on the car is not meant to be altered. or secured in a way otherwise than what NASCAR dictates. You know, here's where it's going to go when we get the final lap. But Kevin Harvick did not cheat.
He's accountable.
And there was no bullshit.
He's accountable.
There is a misinterpretation somewhere along the line in the rules. And, you know, when it comes to race car drivers versus actual sports players or anything like that, unless the driver is building that car themselves, they cannot cheat. Now, when you're Michael Waltrip and you're the owner of the team, you got to keep your hands on everything or don't own your own team. Bill Elliott never screwed up. Brett Bodine never screwed up. Darrell Waltrip never screwed up.
Well,
no, you need to be hands-on with your team. That's it. If you are the owner. Kevin Harvick's not the owner. Sure.
Okay, are you saying
and
the team owner should literally touch everybody in his pit crews?
Oh God, don't even go there.
I mean, now Darrell Waltrip though, yeah, one of the greatest drivers ever. Love the guy. Love to meet him. But one thing, what a way to end a career. He just dulled out. I mean, I know people could say that too about Richard Petty, for God's sakes. But I mean, just like Darrell Waltrip, I mean, he had to keep on taking provisionals just to get in. I mean, at least Jeff Gordon, when he retired, you know, it was...
Jeff Gordon took a provisional too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Jeff Gordon still had some gas left in the tank, you know. I mean, Tony Stewart had some gas left.
There's no such thing as that anymore because of that.
I know, which is actually a really nice thing, I think, but...
Kind of, because those spots can be sold to other cars.
Yeah.
The charter thing... The franchise car thing is not the best scenario either.
Yep. So, speaking of multi-sports, Mr. Butler, still unhappy there on 7th Street and 1st Avenue. And what can you do? Kirk Cousins and Minnesota Vikings, along with, Adam, I'm hooked on a Thielen. Thielen is, and Stephon and Devin Cook, still not hurt. And like to give a shout out to Mr. Danielle Hunter for his game of the best defensive game I've ever seen in my life. Against Detroit.
We're talking about people is the Minnesota Vikings, and we do need to give considerations to others in the NFL as well. Yeah. And I do have to hand it off to the Chicago Bears. They've performed extremely well, and Mr. Mack has been a huge part of it.
I'll admit that.
So... All right, coming to Minnesota on December 8th, and speaking of the Vikings, in their stadium, monster trucks. We're going to be wrapping up after, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 more shows on the Speedway, and more of them are going to be a little informal throughout the winter. But Monster Trucks, December 8th. Saturday, December 8th. Hope to get down there and maybe have my little handheld and do a couple interviews with the drivers and check out the quad bikes racing. Doesn't do me any good on the airwaves to show you guys some of the video we can get, but it's going to be fun. You get the quad bikes, snowcross. There's going to be supercross at U.S. Bank Stadium. So no fret, no frown. We'll come back on Monday after this show, by the way. And then after the Phoenix race, do a weekend preclude on Thursday. And then we're going to do a Monday recap. We'll see if there's any controversy that brings us back in after that. But right now, past tonight's show, it's looking like three more shows officially. All right, Phoenix News. I found out today that the newly renovated and revamped front and backstretch are a hit. Phoenix is one of the first of the sold-out races in years.
Hmm. That is nice to hear.
Now, you have to imagine, okay, you remember the old version 20 years ago, where there was the opening that the cars came on, and now the walls all sealed up. And that is where the start finish line is. That's where the start stand is. That's where the skyboxes are. The cars will literally hit the goal pedal coming out of what used to be turn two. How cool is that going to be? Because now they've got to go through the V-shape going into what is now turn one.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a big old yuck fest like there has been in the last two, Xfinity races?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
I got to go no.
Now, the unknown is, and there was that stupid little runoff area in turn three to the front stretch. Drivers would dive way down. I was hoping they would have put in like the turtles from Charlotte and create bumps. So that equation is now gone. No, I think that the restart area is going to be a huge factor. You can't step on the gas with your front wheels turned. It's just not going to happen. So I found out today that the new revamped front and back stretch are a hit. Phoenix is sold out. Or is it the Harvick news? Has Harvick shook things up enough that people are more excited to go to Phoenix?
It's possible. I know the second to last race of the year matters. That adds something to it. It might be that Harvick stuff, though.
So, yeah, as far as the restart line back there where the entrance wall used to be, it's a whole new venue. All right, let's go controversy. Now, does pre-race inspection even matter at this point?
I'm just having some trouble getting you in.
That's what she said. Now, does practice or pre-race inspection even matter? The field of 40, are they ever full? I mean, the fields have been all the way down to 36, they've been 37, they've been 38, they've been 39. I couldn't name one car that had to go home because it didn't qualify.
Yeah.
But if they're just going to turn the inspections around after a race, what does it matter who passed before going into qualifying? Then pre-race. I mean, they sent through how many chapters of frickin' qualifying inspection. Okay, you pull into the garage, you get inspected. Before you go out to qualify, you get inspected. Before you go on the track on Sunday morning, you still have to pass an inspection. Does that make any sense? I don't think so.
Well, I've always wondered, though, even before a race, how much of the car can you change? Why isn't it caught early? I mean, there's some things you can change during a race to help you cheat, but most of the time you can't.
Now I'm going to go through something right after this. Only three cars are taken to the R&D center after a race. The winner, the second place finisher, and a random car. Now, okay, you're going to put those cars out on the track. They're going to run the race. The crowd's going to be excited. They're going to buy a bunch of Kevin Harvick t-shirts after the race. And then they're going to hate their fucking t-shirts. I did it again.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make any sense to me. If your car qualifies before the race, or even leading up to inspection before you go out to qualify. Now, there's been some cars that haven't got out for qualifying because multiple times through. Oh, my God. We'll have to go through this someday. I think they've overcomplicated it. I really do. You can't just take a winning car, get a crowd excited, and then all of a sudden cancel his chances for the championship. I know it's Kevin Harvick, and of course it's my favorite driver, but they need to somehow move it back to old school, not move the car, what's the word that I'm looking for, where they take three cars, put them on a truck, and take them out to North Carolina, and all of a sudden be like, ooh, is off by a thousand of an inch. Something's got to change there. if you're going to let a car on the track, then it's legal. By the way, Jimmy Johnson, back in, I'm not sure what year, they discovered a device that was in the rear window that it was set up as a track bar adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was able to move the window to put more air on the sill and things like that. I get that. The car can be altered throughout the race. And so this race instruction was need a post inspection. Kevin Harvick passed post inspection. There was no manipulation of the rear window or anything like that. Now, the Nicholas device could have easily been found before he ever went out on the track on Sunday morning. Whatever.
Hmm.
You get it?
Yeah.
So only three cars have taken to the R&D center. You know, first and second in a random car. It'd be like after a baseball game. Hey, dude, take this nail file from me. They might find it. No, I don't want them to find it on me. Maybe they won't find either one of us. Well, that pine tar, the black shit.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's talk going on in the off season about cars being disqualified overall. By the way. By the way, I'm going through final laps. I just don't have them numbered. Being disqualified overall for cheating or not passing pre-race inspection. You know damn well that would never happen if it's a Jimmy Johnson type or a Dale Jr. type or a Jeff Gordon type. Oh, did I just name three Hendrick drivers? But you know, if all of a sudden somebody travels across the U.S. like I have, and all of a sudden Tony Stewart's not there when I expected Tony Stewart to be there, it's going to be a freaking, it's going to be Armageddon. So there's no way they will ever disqualify a driver from being in the field. Remember? You saw Bill Elliott in a Dodge uniform.
Yeah.
For all the old people, older, I should say. So final lap, how do you feel when they keep saying seven-time Monster Energy champ Richard Petty?
I think they kind of have to.
I don't think they do.
Because if you said seven-time, because every time he won a Winston Cup title, he won titles before it was a Winston Cup, though. People wouldn't have any clue it's the same series.
Okay, now let's turn that over.
Or you could just call it Cup Champion, though. Seven-time Cup Champion.
Okay, that's my point exactly, though.
Okay.
Going into 2020. Now, like you just mentioned, Petty's championships came under mainly the Winston series. Dale Earnhardt, on the other hand, was a seven-time Winston Cup champion.
Yeah.
I don't like it when they call them Monster Energy Cup champions. I didn't like it when they called them Sprint Cup champions. I didn't like it when they called them Nextel Cup, Sprint Nextel Cup. to this day, I still call the Xfinity series and the Nationwide series the Bush series. Mm-hmm. No one likes him. Fuck him. Oh, God, I just... You know what's nice about this show is I
what?
Can look at the meter and I can tell when less people are listening. So either way, you know, when you look at Mark Martin, who Sam, he broke the record. Mark Martin broke the record for the most Xfinity series wins. I'm like, screw that.
Yeah.
That was the Bush series.
Yeah.
So, now that the announcers have to be on top of that and at least say back when it was the Bush series or back when it was the Winston Cup series or back when it was, unfortunately nowadays, the next Hall Cup tours. You know, that's just... There was not a such thing as Monster Energy drinks back when Richard Petty took a championship or... I'm pretty sure even when Dale Earnhardt did.
Right. Was Gatorade.
Well, when you think about that is, you know, the duels at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to the 500. One of my four least favorite places, you know, to it, Talladega. I don't give a rat about those two races, but yeah, I'm just with. So much steep history. Why do they have to be so politically correct and call it Monster Energy when it wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
And Nationwide when it wasn't? Back to the truck series when it was called Craftsman. You know, not Family Camper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get it. Hey, I'm about to and then step out for a fresh air break and then listen to blogtalkradio.com, Fan for Racing, FAN number 4, Word Racing. Hopefully I can be a little more professional next week, but... I got to turn off my phone because I am stuck using this right now as a hotspot and chewing data because the office building screwed it up. So, all right, I'm out. You out?
All right.
Captain from the stands.
Kerplow.
Kerplow.
Make it so. Beam us out.
I'm still waiting for that beam of salt.
Okay.
That's going to hurt.
Well,
can you imagine a beam of salt shooting into your body?
Well,
instant heart attack. All that sodium.
Yeah, maybe. Wonder how much Monster Energy drinks, though, got probably a ton of sodium in them.